When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in, off and running another hour here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Certainly appreciate you stopping by as we have got... Well, we got Major League Baseball action underway, and Aaron Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies just can't get out of his own way here. Just walked a run in, 2-0 already. Bases still juiced there as the Giants already out in front early. Robbie Ray going for the Giants eventually, as soon as Aaron Nola can get 3 outs on the top of the first, would be great. We are also seeing the Yankees getting ready for the sweep against Kansas City. That's coming up here. NBA action a little bit later with, we're actually at the bottom of the hour here. The Miami Heat taking on the Chicago Bulls in a play-in situation with the winner advancing to take on Atlanta on Friday for the right to play for who is going to lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers. How much fun does that sound? And we are finally... almost to the end of the regular season in the NHL, but we got one really important game here tonight for the Montreal Canadiens, and let's welcome in our good friend Joe Madden here, because Joe, it feels like the regular season never ends here in the NHL, but it's good that they have one more game if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, because they are home, they are taking on a Carolina team that is just waiting to take on the Devils, I believe, in the first round coming up. So they don't have a lot to play for. But what does that mean? I mean, does Montreal finally punch their ticket to the postseason after 4 years?
Well, all they need is 1 point, Joe. So even if they go to overtime and lose in overtime, picking up that point will clinch that playoff spot. But this isn't going to be easy versus Carolina tonight. The depth of Carolina, and you're looking at players like Taylor Hall, who rested the last game, playing in tonight's matchup. So it does seem like they have a little bit of a grudge here against the Montreal Canadiens, not wanting to see them in the postseason, because they do have another game tomorrow versus the Ottawa Senators that you would expect that the Canes really want to kind of shore up before the playoffs, that they would do it tomorrow night, not tonight versus the Montreal Canadiens team. But we're going to see them out there. I do think Montreal still has the ability to get the win. They're going to be so hungry in this one to pick up that extra point. And I do think it's got to be a lower scoring game. First period, though, I would be very cautious in taking the under 1.5. I do think we trade back goals in that first period, but then we see that lockdown defensively. I'm looking for Montreal to win this in a 3-2 a style game. I'll take Nick Suzuki here for the power play point. That's coming in at plus a 255. And then you've got to look at Demidov coming out here. They're calling him the demigod. And in the last game, coming out for Montreal, this young kid was able to net a goal and an assist in that first period. There was so much hype around him. Going into that game, he was plus 145 to get a goal. The books are giving us a better number at plus 260. I will take him again with what we saw in that last game to be impactful here for the Montreal Canadiens. And I think if you're really looking at someone for the Carolina Hurricanes, it is Shesnikov coming out for goal number 20. That's loading tonight. That's coming in at plus 210. In the last game out, he had 5 shots on goal, and I expect that similar production tonight, Joe.
So always a couple of, even in these final regular season games, there's always a spot to look at, certainly from the prop betting perspective. We were talking to Cam last hour, and we're laughing, and we're going, Edmonton and San Jose, like, they're nobody is playing for Edmonton. I mean, they're having tryouts right now for people to play in this game. If we were ever to bet San Jose, is tonight the night here, Joe?
Yeah, it absolutely has to be. You look at the Sharks, they've lost their last 10, right? Like, Edmonton, no one's playing. You know who is playing for Edmonton, though? Really interesting to look at Quinn Hudson here. Now, he is listed in the lineup. He is Lane Hudson's brother. He made his debut in that last game out for Edmonton. Wasn't productive, but I do think in this one, we could see a little bit of production out of him if you can find it on your books. But you look at the Edmonton Oilers, they're 3-7 on that puck line in their last 10. This has to play on the San Jose Sharks or nothing for me. I like their player props as well. Celebrini, 2 points off of point number 65. So the 2+ points for him tonight coming in at plus 285 as he looks to pat those stats. You've got Tyler Toffoli, 1 point away from 55 as well. Will Smith, he's got 18 goals. I think Will Smith is sneaky for a goal tonight. And then Eklund coming out for point 55. So look at the player props. Look for a higher scoring one as the Sharks and the Oilers battle this one out back and forth. And the Sharks are going to finish the season off strong, Joe. I remember a couple seasons ago, they came to Calgary to finish things off, and they just wiped the floor with Calgary in that last game.
I love it, Joe. Let's do it. Go big or go home here tonight in that one. What about this Vancouver and Vegas Golden Knights game? Vancouver at home. The Knights are coming off of that, what, 5-4 shootout loss at, you know this, at Calgary last night, right? I would imagine not a lot of effort or stars playing for Vegas here tonight. Is this where we back the Canucks to get it done?
Okay, well, that was the thing. Last night, we didn't see these players hit the ice either, and Vegas still was able to push that game all the way to the shootout with Calgary getting the win. But unfortunately, the Minnesota Wild getting the win in overtime, it did seal the deal for Calgary, and they were eliminated from playoff contention. But you're looking at a Vancouver team here, Joe. That's their last game at home. We're looking at the Vegas Golden Knights, second night of back-to-back. They just want to stay healthy into the playoffs. And while Vancouver struggled versus Vegas, and they've struggled over history versus Vegas, only going 7-15-2 against them since the Vegas Golden Knights entered the league. You've got to look some way at playing Vancouver. Pride will come out here. Now, I'm looking at Quinn Hughes, huge for his career point and goal tonight. If he gets a goal tonight, that will be career goal number 60. And point number 410, I'm willing to hit on it for the season. That will be goal number 17 for the season. So Quinn Hughes for the goal tonight coming in at great plus money. And then Brock Besser. Joe, I don't know if you're hearing these rumors, but the rumors are he will not be playing with Vancouver next season, or maybe not even playing. I don't know, Joe. We're hearing lots of stuff about Besser. He played his best game in that last game out. Look for him to continue it. He has 50 points on the season, 25 goals, 25 assists. I'll take him for 2+ points tonight. And if Thomas Hurdle does hit the ice for the Vegas Golden Knights, he's always successful versus Vancouver. That would be your point scorer here. But I can't touch Vegas. It's got to be Vancouver or nothing.
No, I am with you here. And Anaheim and those darn Winnipeg Jets here, there's got to be some props we can go anytime. Goals, who are we looking at in this one?
Okay, so this is going to be interesting because we really, again, don't know who's going to be playing for the Winnipeg Jets. You look at the Anaheim Ducks, and they're coming off that game last night where the Minnesota Wild just got the better of them in OT. I'm going to look for the Ducks and the Jets to start off hot in the first period. I like the first period over 1.5 goals, minus 134. To score at plus 168, and you got to put a little bit of a sprinkle on the Ducks on that money line. Troy Terry for point 55, Leo Carlson for point 45, and then McTavish for point number 53. I think all of them are loading, Joe.
Oh, I love this. All right, first period over in that one with Anaheim and Winnipeg, and again, those games are just getting ready to drop the puck, and we're almost there, Joe. We're almost to the playoffs. We've got plenty more on a trip to the road to a Stanley Cup. It's almost here. Unfortunately, Calgary won't be a part of it. I was rooting for you there, Joe. I thought for sure we'd get a Calgary jersey look here on one of these shows and appearances, but we'll have to wait until next year. It's not too late to go and get yourself a Florida Panther jersey, Joe. I'm just telling you that right now. We appreciate it, Joe. We got more Game Time Decisions coming up next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A quick update from Philadelphia. My goodness. The Giants wasted no time getting to Aaron Nola. In fact, four times in the top of the first inning, felt like Aaron Nola was never going to get out of that inning. He did. And now the Phillies have promptly loaded the bases against Robbie Ray. So if you want to know why the over continued to be bet up, by the way, in-game total right now, 13. As opposed to the 8 when the game started. And I think we're understanding why now. Also, we've got the Yankees and Clark Schmidt's first appearance to start the year. It's good to have him back. And, well, it's already 1-0 with a bunch of runners on base. So not going well in that spot either. But who are we kidding? In about 15, 20 minutes, we'll be able to start putting a fork in the Miami Heat season. Did I say that out loud? I think I did. Actually, it was Adam Kaufman thinking the same thing, I believe, as he steps in and joins us here. Like, does it really matter who wins this game? They got to go to Atlanta. Does it really matter who wins that game? Because they're on their way to Cleveland. This just feels like an exercise in futility here. I don't know where this one's going here, although it does appear a lot of money coming in on Chicago, up to 2 now in a lot of spots. What did you think we were going to get in this game here tonight?
Well, look, you just outlined it perfectly. The winner of this game loses to the Hawks, who then loses to the Cavaliers. So we're just playing out the string at this point in time. It's only a function of how many games, which is probably 5, that they take Atlanta or Cleveland, pardon me, in the first place. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, my message to Adam Silver would be truly, who wanted this? Who needed this? Yeah. We have two teams, neither of which reached 40 wins during the regular season. Both won in the 30s that are going to go head to head tonight, you know, playing for their season. Who cares? Other than, I guess, you know, just a little bit semi-relevant basketball in these markets for the day that they can survive. But right, as you said, we have games in front of us tonight that we have to at least find something interesting in beyond the, hey, season's over if you lose and slightly prolonged if you win. And in this one, of all the four play-in games, I was on yesterday doing, this show, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I felt very strongly about Orlando winning that game going away and the Grizzlies keeping things close enough. But, you know, Golden State probably winning, so threading that needle there. I couldn't have been more right about those, which means I'll probably be wrong about everything tonight. But the way I feel about tonight, it's hard to have a feel for this game other than to say, yeah, go with the dog. You know, Miami has not quite been itself, obviously, since dealing away Jimmy Butler. You know, you're very close to that situation there, you know, geographically at the very least. You know, it's a team that, maybe Hero goes off, maybe he doesn't, maybe they defer to Bam Adebayo, maybe they don't, maybe Ware is looked at as a guy to get you a double-double. I think with Chicago, it's a little bit more predictable a plan, which is that Josh Giddey, you know, the only way to invest in him is to go over on his PRA, because you don't know if it's going to be points, rebounds, or assists, but it probably is going to be all three. What he has been doing for this Bulls team, which, oh, by the way, has been very good down the stretch. They've won 6 out of 7 to close out the regular season. They went 3-0 in this series against Miami, which is why I think you've seen some of that late money come in Chicago to elevate that spread from 1.5 to 2 at this point in time. I think you should go with the dog if you want to bet a side. ultimately, I'd probably stay away from that, and I would just bet the over in this game, Joe, because neither of these teams has a particularly good defense, and they both score in bunches. You know, looking at some stuff earlier, the Heat have scored at least 111 points in 9 of their last 10 games, while allowing at least 110 points in 4 of 6. And the Bulls, they've almost mirrored that. They have scored 117 plus in 9 of 10 and allowed in 8 of 10, 111 plus. So put all those numbers together, how do we not get 220 plus in this game? So independent of who wins, I think we should be investing in the over.
I could not agree more. I even took a shot on the Miami Heat team total over at 109, 109 and a half, because I'm with you here. Chicago's going to want to run. Miami's got better shooters. So if it's raining threes from Miami, I think the over is coming in bunches in that game here. Now, the late game, the odds are telling us totally different stories. This thing opened up much higher. I think 223 I saw. Now it's 213 and a half, which leads me to believe that the Mavericks are going to want to make this an ugly game, slow it down, and maybe taking the points with them. But I'm laying 5 with Sacramento, who is more than capable of dropping a buck 20 on this team. So what gives here?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. You know, I think ultimately you have to, at this point in time, go with the Kings to win this game. You know, it's a solid spot for Sacramento, given just they have so much more talent than this Dallas team. You know, we can sit, we can mock all things Nico Harrison and trying to justify behind closed doors with no cameras and no audio recording the Luka Doncic trade. What a cowardly move on the part of the Mavericks front office and finally addressing this thing. But it's just Anthony Davis. And I realized, like, I saw this stat on Twitter. He had lost, I think, his first 10 matchups head-to-head with Domantas Sabonis and won his last 4. Who cares? He's not a Laker anymore. He's not a Pelican anymore. Like, let's live in the present and look at the situation around him. And there is so little on that Mavericks team around Anthony Davis. And even when he has been called upon down the stretch, he's kind of turtled. You know, look at the head-to-head going against the Lakers for the very first time. He was a no-show in that game. That should have been revenge narrative 101. So I looked to Sabonis and DeRozan and LaVine, obviously. You know, I would look to LaVine, you know, maybe I don't know, LaVine goes crazy. Sabonis is the guy that I love in this game. I think he goes over some both his points and his rebounds. You could put that combo together if you want to lean into, you know, one specific area over another and just hope that he does, you know, ultimately deliver both. I think similar to Orlando kind of running away from Atlanta last night, I think Sacramento runs away in this game from Dallas tonight, coupled by being at home. They will advance.
We'll have more with Adam as Game Time Decisions continues on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside Adam Kaufman here as we're taking a look, getting ready, of course, for play-in basketball in the NBA. First up, the Miami Heat at the Chicago Bulls, and then the nightcap, we got the Dallas Mavericks at the Kings. And Adam, you and I just off here, we're going through these lineups, and it's ridiculous the size here that Dallas is going to be able to throw out. Protecting the rim here with Anthony Davis and Gafford and Lively and PG. These are all 6'10", 7-foot guys. So I don't see a lot in the paint for Sacramento, but when you've got, you know, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Sabonis that can pull up from anywhere, it just feels like they're not going to have to. And how are they going to run up and down the court with all that size, Dallas, here?
What's really funny, though, is you look at the size the Mavericks have, and obviously it starts with Anthony Davis, but then you have the guys around him or subbing in for him, whether it's Washington or Lively or Gafford. And all the while, all I can think about still is, I'd go over 13.5 rebounds with Sabonis. Like, I don't think anybody gets in this dude's way. I mean, he's a machine. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if he has 6 rebounds by the end of the first quarter alone. And oh, by the way, even if he gets into just a little bit of trouble or you want to give him a blow, you got Jonas Valanciunas off the bench that you can throw in there. And so, yeah, there's a lot of size on that Dallas team, no doubt about it. But if you watch them over the course of the season, and I know there have been a lot of injuries, a lot of in and out of the lineup, it's a little bit of reckless size. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really, they're handsy. They don't control themselves very well. They're not, it's just, there's a lack of maturity in the way that this team plays that, I mean, as disappointed as Luka was getting traded away, in some ways, he probably couldn't wait to get the hell out of there because he was in a matter of speaking, misused. I just, for all the people, there are so many people in this space that are taking the Mavericks with the points in this game, and I don't understand. And maybe as I'm staying up late tonight watching this thing, I will be sitting there and I will be shown the light. But the way I sit and look at it, Joe, I don't know how they even compete. I don't know how this is even a close game. One of the things we were talking about off air is like, how does it happen outside of Anthony Davis? And I thought you nailed it. Like, Klay Thompson, is he going to go nuclear from three? Is he going to turn back the clock and go, you know, half Splash Brother and well exceed his points prop in this game? You know, I think that if you believe that, his points total is what, 13.5, I think it is. You may as well go over on that and just forget about the three pointers because they're correlated to begin with. And you know, he's bound to get at least a couple of twos. But I mean, that's not hard work. He could honestly, even if they lose this game, which I believe they will, he could exceed his points prop by halftime. And that wouldn't shock me in the least, especially if we're sitting here expecting points. But I just, again, size be damned, I think this is a great Sabonis game that we're going to be seeing in front of us tonight. And I think this is, the shame of it is neither of these teams is particularly good. I mean, that's why they're 9-10 seeds and under the old NBA wouldn't even be in this conversation. They'd be sitting there fighting for lottery balls, but they are here and they are playing for the opportunity to, you know, move on. And you know, the same sort of spiel that we gave before, you get Memphis next and you see what John Morant looks like now banged up with that ankle, and maybe you can complete some sort of an upset and you advance, and then you do get waxed by the Thunder. But right now you're just trying to elongate your season. I think the Kings are the team to do it.
So it's funny, speaking of a dog here, looking at some of these series that we've got set to come up here, Detroit, New York, Milwaukee, Indiana, Clippers, Denver, Lakers, Minnesota. Is there a dog we should be looking at to win a series here?
Absolutely.
Or is this all going to be chalk here?
No, without a doubt, there's a dog. There's one that jumps out. There's one or two I could maybe talk myself into, but there's one that I firmly believe in, and that is Detroit beating New York. This team had the Knicks number over the course of the regular season, beat them 3 out of 4 times. They are getting hot at just the right time, dating back to, obviously, that pre-All-Star break surge. They were a team. They were one of these play-in hopeful teams. They were bottom feeders in the East before they got hot, and they have maintained. And that Knicks team, look, I don't know how you could watch them this year compared to last year when they had all those injuries, I realized, but they also had, you know, Randall, who I know was a questionable fit. Obviously, DiVincenzo, who was a flamethrower. Hartenstein, who people, you know, he was so good for them last year down the stretch, and I know, obviously, he's played a key role for the Thunder this year. This Pistons team is just more headstrong. The Knicks, crazy to say, I know, if you're a Knicks fan, like, if JY's out there listening, the Knicks have gotten soft, man. They have gotten soft. They are not as physical, as headstrong as they were last year, and I think the Pistons are going to take care of them. Probably a long series if you'd rather just invest in that over 5.5 games or something, but I think Detroit wins and advances.
Going great. Well, the coach is never coming back on, Adam. Thanks. Appreciate it. Game time decision.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready, just a couple of minutes away from the start of the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls for your first play-in game in the association here tonight. We've got a couple of updates in Major League Baseball we'll get to, but let's not forget we may have had a Masters for the Ages on the PGA Tour last week. Our good friend Brady Cannon, though, he's put that in the rearview mirror, much like Bryson DeChambeau, and he is looking straight to Harbortown for the RBC here, getting ready to take center stage here, Brady. Something tells me the winner of this tournament, though, will not have two double bogeys and three bogeys on Sunday and still win. I'm still scratching my head on how he managed to be able to pull that off, Rory, but... kudos. He's got the grand slam, and all in all, it reminded me of one of those, like, are you not entertained? Because that was pretty entertaining there, Brady, on Sunday.
Joe, I think it's the best Masters I've ever seen. it really is. I mean, the first one that I can really remember when I fell in love with this tournament was Jack in 86. And there's been some fantastic finishes. You know, Phil winning his very first major when he jumped about as high as a Snickers bar on the 18th green there, you know, when he won many years ago. You've got Bubba in tears after the wild wedge shot, and Adam Scott. I mean, DJ, you know, there in tears. We've never seen every Masters is thrilling, but I tell you, this one was absolutely unbelievable. And I went into the day thinking maybe I've got an outside shot with Patrick Reed, who I had at 115-1. Never in my wildest dreams did I think my ticket on Justin Rose at 110-1 would end up in a playoff with Rory McIlroy at 11 under par. And that was so fortunate because it gave me a chance to hedge and turn a profit. It was, everything fell into place perfectly. It was really just a wild ride that I was envisioning really a couple of movie script writers in the back going, okay, and then we'll have him dump it in the water on 13, and then bogey, and then 15, he'll hit a miracle shot, just like, I mean, it was really unbelievable. It was such good theater. And, you know, has the statement ever been more true? The Masters doesn't begin until the second night on Sunday. I don't know if we've ever seen a greater example of that.
And as much as we want to say, oh, DeChambeau, he didn't show up on Sunday, listen, Justin Rose must be absolutely kicking himself for that 75 on Saturday, because I got news for you. If he goes one under or two under on Saturday, shoots 70 instead of 75, he wins that one going away. And it's just unfortunate that that's where he ended up losing that tournament, was on Saturday. But we get to go to Harbortown, which I know you love. I know you've played this course. I see the hat here, Jack Nicklaus. And Pete Dye, I believe, put it together. And I remember Scotty last year coming off the Masters when came here, ended up winning it. We weren't sure if he was going to have the kid. I think this was right around the time. And, well, he won this one, too, as well, last year. I think he's, what is he, a $3 favorite here? And there's just no way you can play him in this spot.
He's a little higher. And I've seen actually close to five. He's about plus 450. I think I've even seen, you know, more than five, maybe plus 525 or something like that. The bloom is coming off the rose a little bit because he just is not winning golf tournaments like we've seen him do the last couple of years. Now, he's not doing too shabby. He was almost in that playoff at Augusta, last week, if not for a couple unfortunate holes down the stretch. But he had a shot as well. So it's not like this guy has regressed. I mean, he is still number one in the world last time I checked. And, you know, a friend of mine brought up today, you know, with Rory now three wins in on the season and obviously getting all the publicity, deservedly so, does Scotty put his foot down this week and go, hey, guys, don't forget about me, okay? I mean, maybe, but I didn't go there because I just haven't seen the Scotty that we're used to yet. And so having not seen that yet, I didn't want to also lay the very short number. I went as far as my shortest shot, I went with Patrick Cantlay, Joe, who is, you know, he's kind of like an automatic play here. He's only missed, I mean, I think he's played here about eight times. He's missed the cut once. I think maybe his first ever trip. Since then, he's finished third four times. He's finished runner-up once, and he's finished seventh once. This guy is just in the mix at this golf tournament year in and year out. I had to go with him. One of the correlated courses, another Pete Dye design, is TPC Sawgrass. You see a lot of crossover success between these two tournaments, and Cantlay just comes off of a 12th place finish at the Players last month, has a couple of top fives already this season. So I went with him. Corey Connors, one of the hottest players in the game right now. I took him at 25. He's played in 10 tournaments this year. Five times has he already finished top 10. I played Cantlay and Connors for a top 10 finish as well. And then I went to the guy you and I have been talking about for a long time, for probably more than just this past season, but, you know, last year as well, Daniel Berger, the Florida State Seminole. He's really starting to come around, Joe. We've been kind of waiting for this coming out party for Daniel Berger for a while. Finished second at another correlated course of mine, Sea Island, the RSM Classic last fall. He's won at Colonial, one of my correlated courses, has finished as high as third here at Harbortown, and finished 21st, very respectable. Top 25 finished at the Masters last week. So I think, you know, it's such a polar opposite from Augusta, this big, massive property. And now we get to this little narrow tree line thing with, you know, some of the smallest greens on tour. And I think that's the type of player, you know, last week we get, you know, the biggest driver of the golf ball in the world. In fact, the two biggest probably in the final pairing in DeChambeau and Rory. Now I'm looking at more of a ball striker, a scrambler, a more of a finesse player, you know, like a Cantlay, like a Connors, like a Daniel Berger.
Yeah, Daniel Berger was, like you had mentioned, I think top three or four there back in 2020. This course, not as long, but it is definitely strategic. You've got a bunch of guys over the years that have won it more than once here. So I get the love for Scotty, but my goodness, what wins this tournament here? What's the number, Brady, that we should be looking for?
You know, you got me. I didn't even look at what the tournament proposition bet was this week, but since this has gone signature status, okay, right. This is only, I think, the third year in a row that we've had a signature status tag on this event. And, you know, we've seen Matt Fitzpatrick, Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, you know. So prior to that, we had some good fields, but not elite fields like this. And since we've had these elite fields invade Harbortown, you know, you've had some scores more closer to 20 under par and that type of thing. I would think somewhere maybe, you know, 15, 16, 17. I'm not seeing any crazy weather as far as wind or anything like that. So, yeah, I think we're going to get some low numbers.
Scotty was 19, by the way, last year. Scotty was 19.
There you go.
Matt Fitzpatrick the year prior was 17. Jordan Spieth was 13 over those last 3 years. So the course can be had depending on the conditions. So, you know, it's not crazy to think 17, 18 under par is realistic here for this one.
Absolutely. And the other three guys, I played six guys this week, Connors, Cantlay, and Berger. Mm-hmm. And then I went much deeper down the board. Lucas Glover at 80-1. Bud Colley at 90-1. Both of these guys were great at the Players, great at the Valspar, really good current form. And then Michael Kim, who has really become one of the best players in the world the last really year. And he's had a number of top 10 finishes this year. So, kind of a different, you know, collection of guys than certainly we like to win the Masters. But, you know, it's a different golf course, but one that I certainly love. A great tournament in Harbortown.
Yeah, absolutely love it. It should be great. And of course, Brady, we'll catch up again on Friday as we head into the weekend as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network as they are just underway in the first play-in game tonight in the association of Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls going toe-to-toe in Chicago. And, of course, coming up top of the hour, we'll pass the baton to our good friend Scotty Wetzel take over for in-game live. And Scotty, we'll start there, man. You got to love these 9-10 seeds below 500 teams still having a chance to keep playing for some reason. And even better, they get to go to Atlanta only to figure out who's going to lose to the Cavs. So kudos to both of these teams. Who did you have winning this game tonight?
Yeah, I do like the Bulls. I think they had a, you know, a halfway decent chance here at the number 9 seed, Joe, if for no other reason in that the number 10 seed has never made. You know, not that we've been doing this forever with this goofy little, 7 versus 8, 8 versus 9, but the number 10 seed has never made the so-called postseason, if you don't want to consider this the postseason. They've won twice in this round, but then those two winners ended up losing in the other round. So they're 2-8 in this round, 0-10 for making the playoffs. So I like the Bulls. I'm got to put the under in there as well, under 220. I thought that was a halfway decent number. 17-7 heading into this play-in. We split last night, so 18-8 to the under in these play-in games. They actually play a little bit of defense. And even last night's one over looked like it was going to sail by with Golden State and Memphis, and we had to sweat that one out a little bit as it did have the over last night, but it did go over. But I'm going to go under 220. Miami's MO, you live down there, is defense. Yep. If they're going to beat the Bulls, it's going to be because of defense. And even if they don't, I think that'll slow the ball down enough. So let's go under 220 in the first game. And I love Sacramento in the second game. You know, it's up to 5 in some circles, maybe even 5.5. It was as low as 4.5 this afternoon. We just rattled off the numbers, right? These number 10 teams just don't win. So, the number's small enough where I'm not going to take a chance on them losing and covering the spread. So let's go with Sacramento laying 4.5, 5, whatever it ends up being, because I think they're going to win.
I love it. All right, 4-3 here, Miami out in front early. Let's talk some Major League Baseball here tonight, Scott. I could not get over how much money was coming in on an Athletics versus White Sox game. But my goodness, are we laying $1.60 with the Athletics on the road?
I know. On the road, no less, right? We did last night, and they won easily. This White Sox team, man, they just – I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year. But ultimately, are they losing games? Yes, they are. A 4-12, worst record in the American League. They've scored the second fewest runs in all of baseball. They can't score. I looked it up. They've only scored more than 3 runs 4 times in 16 games. I mean, they can't score. Whether it's home, on the road, on the moon. You know, the A's, I don't know if they're going to be a 500 team, but I think they're going to be pretty close to it. So they're begging for White Sox money, I suppose. So let's lay Oakland minus 160. Believe it or not, 164, whatever it is, depending on where you do your shopping, on the surging A's against the fading White Sox.
You know, I shame on me, Scotty. I should have opened up this segment by wishing you a happy fade Patrick Corbin day, because all know that's what you're celebrating today, are you not?
Why is this guy, let alone in a starting rotation, why is this guy still in a major league uniform is beyond me. I mean, he stinks, Joe. He's not any good. He hasn't been good for years. You know, Washington only held on to him because they owed him all this guaranteed money. They finally got rid of him this year, and Texas, so desperate for pitching, says, all right, come on down here. Yeah, that a lefty who stinks and down in Texas. Yeah, good luck on that with that, humidity and everything in the summertime. So, he's a lefty, and Mike Trout, say what you want about him. He's hitting some home runs, so he's probably good for a home run tonight. I like the over team total, Angels 4.5. I think they get 5 or 6 runs on the board before they yank Corbin, and they probably win the game. I don't want to root for them to win, but I'll root for them to get 5 runs.
I'm with you here. I mean, I certainly with the better bullpen, they should be able to win this game here. Now, talk to me about the Dodgers tonight. I'm always weary of these $3 favorites this early. But I mean, what are you going to do against Colorado? Can't score more than what, 2 runs? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I found a nice little way to bet this stuff, right? So 100% right. You can't bet Colorado, obviously. So, and you can't lay minus 310, right? Or 3-1, whatever it ends up being. So how do we do it? I'm going to lay the 1.5. Had to sweat it out two nights ago. Relatively easy last night. I think they're going to win by two runs or more. Colorado 1-10 on the road this season, including nine straight losses. They're at a 2-13 run. I mean, they only got three wins anyway, but they've lost 13 of their last 15. We've given you the numbers before. They're 136 games under 500 on the road the last four plus seasons. And then the Dodgers own them, 8-1 their last nine. So we attack it two ways. First way, Joe, going to lay the run and a half, you know, and it's still pretty juicy, minus 160 or 130, 140 and change, but we're going to do that. And then I found a bet on FanDuel. You got to go all the way till you hit Colorado, LA. This is hidden. They love hiding these bets. You got to hit, LA, Colorado, extra plays. And then along the top where they have all those icons, you go all the way to the end, innings. Look for innings. And then when you hit that, there's about 100 bets. You got to scroll all the way down. I'm not joking. You got to scroll all the way down.
Wow.
Next to last bet is which team will have the biggest run scoring inning. And, wow. You know, the Dodgers are good for like a three-run inning. I don't think Colorado is. They can't hit their way out of a paper bag. And you're only laying $1.65. So... you know what? It beats minus 310. I think they're good for a three-run inning. I don't think Colorado is. So Dodgers minus 1.5 runs, and then Dodgers minus 165 to have the biggest run scoring inning in the game between the two teams.
All right. Final regular season games in the NHL. I've seen a lot of people jumping on San Jose. You're not one of them, though.
No, Connor McDavid's playing tonight. So is Zach Hyman. Dreisaitl's still out, but if McDavid's in there, they're going to go into this thing playing serious hockey. And if that's the case, San Jose's lost 10 in a row. They're done, Joe. They're done. Last game of the season, there's no reason for them to play. Lay the goal and a half if you're happy with Edmonton.
Love it. All right, Scotty, we'll see you here top of the hour. More Game Time Decisions coming up next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions as we look to close out this hour together. And don't go anywhere. It's just getting good. Plenty of Major League Baseball underway. We'll run down the scoreboard for you, of course, in just a couple of minutes there. Scotty Wetzel, Dave Sharapan and company will pass the baton to them. They will have you covered over the next couple of hours with all the games here tonight, whether it be Major League Baseball, for the final regular season games here in the NHL. And of course, a play-in game tonight right now underway with the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls. If you're looking for defense, you won't find it in this game here so far. 19-10, Miami out in front with about 7 minutes to go in that one. We saw Miami close as a 2-point dog here on the road to Chicago. Chicago had won both meetings against all three meetings, in fact, against Miami this year. But you know what they say, I guess four times a charm if you're Miami, but not a lot of defense in this one. Don't think there's going to be a ton of defense, by the way, in the game after this, which will feature the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. And we're still starting to see a lot of Sacramento come into this market. Now, 5.5s even showing up for Sacramento. I still think this is another over game with Sacramento. If Sacramento is going to win and cover this game, they are more than capable of getting 115 points. Maybe even a Sacramento team total over might not be a bad look here. If Dallas is going to win this game, Dallas is going to have to slow them down and just do absolutely nothing but force them into jump shots. But there's a lot of firepower on this Sacramento Kings team at home. They've always been better at home than on the road. But Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, these were all 6'11", 7-footers, all available for the Dallas Mavericks, and I'm including Klay Thompson. So somebody's going to have to score if you're on Dallas. And Don't be shocked here if this thing goes flying over the 213, 213 and a half here. So I'll be more than happy to take the overs. I think the markets are so used to unders in these play-in games because of all the trends. I think the market's gone overboard. We saw it last night, too, with Golden State and Memphis as the under money kept rolling in, and that game landed over. And who saw Orlando winning by that many last night? I do think that series against the Boston Celtics, buckle up. I think they're going to be able to, they may not win the war, but they're going to have a few sandwiches along the way there against the Celtics. And they did split the season series, by the way, Orlando, with the Celtics. I think that's going to be a very physical series, and I'm looking very, very forward to it. In Major League Baseball tonight, though, underway, the Orioles on top of the Guardians now 4-1. The Marlins and the Diamondbacks actually holding on right now. 2-1 here in the bottom of the fifth there. Brandon Pfaadt rolling for Arizona. Max Meyer, the kid has been really good for the Marlins right now. They are in the bottom of the fifth. Pirates, believe it or not, on top 1-0 with Brady Falter over the Washington Nationals, who have their lefty Parker going here tonight. And the Mariners all over Nick Martinez and the Reds right now, top of the fifth, 4-0. I don't think the Reds have won one of Nick Martinez's starts yet this year. And if they keep scoring no runs, and it won't be that hard to figure out why. The Giants still on top of the Phillies 4-2 after Aaron Nola gave up 4 runs in the top of the first inning to start this game. The Phillies did get 2 back in the bottom of the first, but that's all we've seen from that point. Again, the total in this game closed right around 8. So that is trending to the over, to say the least. And the Red Sox have gotten out in front of the Rays 1-0 in that game. The Yankees just took the lead on the Royals, by the way, 2-1. So Yankees have stranded about 6 runners in this game through 3 innings already, but they did get 2 in to make it a close one right now. 2-1, looking for the sweep over the Royals. The game still to come, of course, tonight. Late game will be those Dodgers looking to handle business against, well, you know who. The Colorado Rockies, and that's not a whole lot of business, which is why the Dodgers are $3 favorites. So don't worry. You don't have to go anywhere. In-game live is coming up next. They'll have coverage on all of the action tonight. Enjoy it. Game time decisions. We'll see you again tomorrow. On-